Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, October 3rd, and you guessed it, it's Missions Monday, but this month is a little bit different because each week this month we're going to be highlighting Restoration Academy. And so I look forward to telling you a little bit more about Restoration and how we as a church are partnering alongside them. All right, we're in Joshua chapter 22. We'll be reading starting in verse 10 through the end of the chapter. And this is the continued story of the Reubenites, Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now, today's reading is a little tricky. They erect an altar, and this altar is misunderstood. And so, listen carefully, and maybe we can unpack it at the end. When they came to Geliloth, near the Jordan, in the land of Canaan, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an imposing altar there by the Jordan. And when the Israelites heard that they had built the altar on the border of Canaan at Geliloth, near the Jordan on the Israelite side, the whole assembly of Israel gathered at Shiloh to go to war with them. So the Israelites sent Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, to the land of Gilead, to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. With him they sent 10 of the chief men, one for each of the tribes of Israel, each the head of the family division among the Israelite clans. When they went to Gilead, to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they said to them, "The whole assembly of the Lord says, 'How could you break faith with the God of Israel like this? How could you turn away from the Lord and build yourself an altar in rebellion against him now? Was not the sin of Peor enough for us? Up to this very day, we have not cleansed ourselves from that sin, even though a plague fell on the community of the Lord. And are you now turning away from the Lord? If you rebel against the Lord today, tomorrow he will be angry with the whole community of Israel. If the land you possess is defiled, come over to the Lord's land, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and share the land with us. But do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building an altar for yourselves, other than the altar of the Lord our God.' When Achan, son of Zerah, acted unfaithfully regarding the devoted things, did not wrath come upon the whole community of Israel? He was not the only one who died for his sin. Then Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh replied to the heads of the clans of Israel, 'The Mighty One, God the Lord, the Mighty One, God the Lord, he knows, and let Israel know. If this has been in rebellion or disobedience to the Lord, do not spare us this day. If we have built our own altar to turn away from the Lord and to offer burnt offerings and grain offerings or to sacrifice fellowship offerings on it, may the Lord himself call us to account. No, we did it for fear that someday your descendants might say to ours, 'What do you have to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? The Lord has made the Jordan a boundary between us and you, you Reubenites and Gadites. You have no share in the Lord.' So your descendants might cause ours to stop fearing the Lord. That is why we said, 'Let us get ready and build an altar, but not for burnt offerings and sacrifices. On the contrary, it is to be a witness between us and you and the generations that follow that we will worship the Lord at his sanctuary with our burnt offerings, sacrifices, and fellowship offerings. Then in the future, your descendants will not be able to say to ours, 'You have no share in the Lord.' And we said, 'If they ever say this to us or to our descendants, we will answer, Look at the replica of the Lord's altar, which our fathers built, not for burnt offerings and sacrifices, but as a witness between us and you. Far be it from us to rebel against the Lord and turn away from him today by building an altar for burnt offerings, grain offerings, and sacrifices, other than the altar of the Lord our God that stands before his tabernacle. When Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the community, the heads of the clans of the Israelites, heard what Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh had to say, they were pleased. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, said to Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, "Today we know that the Lord is with us, because you have not acted unfaithfully toward the Lord in this matter. Now you have rescued the Israelites from the Lord's hand." Then Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, and the leaders returned to Canaan from their meeting with the Reubenites, the Gadites, in Gilead, and reported to the Israelites. They were glad to hear the report and praised God, and they talked no more about going to war against them to devastate the country where the Reubenites and the Gadites lived. And the Reubenites and the Gadites gave the altar this name, "A witness between us that the Lord is God." In this passage, those that are living on the east side of the Jordan, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they build this altar. And those that are on the western side, they misunderstand what this altar is about. They think that their brothers are about to sacrifice offerings on an altar other than the tabernacle. And so they want to go to war with them because the law states at that time that they should only be sacrificing at the tabernacle. And so they come together and they realize that it's just one big misunderstanding. This altar is only meant to be a replica of the altar that is in the land of Canaan. They're not going to sacrifice anything on it. It's just something to help them remember their fate so that the ancestors of the descendants that are on the western side of the Jordan won't one day say, "What do you have to do with us? Your God is not our God." Look at verse 25. They might say then, "The Lord has made the Jordan a boundary between us and you, you Reubenites and Gadites. You have no share in the Lord." And so this altar is supposed to ward against that. They want to remember that they have a share in the Lord's inheritance, even though they're not technically in the land of Canaan, the land of promise. All right, we got to move on. Let's go on to Psalm 122. A song of ascents of David. "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, 'Peace be within you.' For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity." And now let's move over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." They discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? And how many basketfuls you gathered? are the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against yeast being used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. As I said earlier, we're going to focus in on Restoration Academy this month for our Missions Monday. This is a school in Fairfield, Alabama for 5K through 12th graders, and their mission is to advance the two greatest commandments, love for God and love for neighbor. They're committed to meet individual students at their point of need and provide dynamic instruction and curriculum for them, competitive sports, and other outlets so that the kids will grow into all that God desires for them. Yesterday in our worship service, we had Brian Gosling with us, their executive director, and he shared with us a little bit about how our partnership with Restoration can help them achieve their mission. And so let's pray on their behalf today. Father, thank you for our partners at Restoration Academy. We, Lord, are so grateful for those who are seeking to bring about your kingdom on this earth. As we partner with them, help us to find more ways where we can connect with this awesome organization and help us as a people to be willing to give our lives for the sake of others, whether it be a restoration or another ministry or even in our families. Lord, help us to be your people, your emissaries, your kingdom conduits, so that others may know you and follow you. And Lord, in situations where we do not know what to do, help us to be people who trust you, lean on your Holy Spirit, and determine, Lord, that whatever happens, we know that you are good and sovereign and always at work. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.